Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast. This week, we're talking week two of NBA. NBA scores, NBA news, NBA standings, pretty much everything NBA related.
Boy, we got some breaking news to kick off the podcast today.
Well, I'll start with it. Go ahead.
As of, 3 o'clock this morning, our time, the franchise known as one of the biggest jokes in the NBA.
The most valuable franchise.
Which is just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous how they can be worth that much. Anyway, the New York Knickerbockers. 10 games into the season, 2-8, have fired Coach Fizdale. Okay, so they've essentially fired him. They haven't quite fired him. It's not official, but it's an essential firing after the comments that we will read out a little bit later. It's just, it's jaw-dropping. They got blown out by 21 points last night in the Garden by Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Nobody should be getting blown out by Cleveland in your own building.
No. Yet no.
The Knicks did. Management there, Scott Perry and Steve Mills, called an impromptu press conference, basically straight after the game, while Coach Fizz was in the locker room addressing players and doing what he normally does. They've come out to the podium and basically said, we're not where we want to be with the team that we have, which is another just laughable joke with the free agent signings that they picked up this year. They picked up 400 power forwards.
Well, that's right. And really, who has the say on that? Like, is it the coach's say? Is it your general manager's say?
I'm sure the Fizz would have had some sort of input, but mainly that'd be done by Scott Perry and Steve Mills. Like they're the management. Mm-hmm. So these free agent signings would have been picked up. Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson. Alfred Payton, Wayne Ellington, Reggie Bullock. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? These are the players that they're trying to. These guys are all nice role players and everything like that. Julius Randle could be a star.
He
played really well for New Orleans last year.
He's playing pretty well for the Knicks this year as well.
So I think he's near averaging a double-double. Somebody's got to score though, haven't they?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Somebody's got to get the buckets there. Like here's just some of the things that I've just picked up this morning, right?
Well,
so in 10 games, they are 29th in differential, in points per game differential at minus 10. So that's second last. They are last in offensive efficiency. They are last in field goal percentage. And they are third last in assists per game. So they're playing solo ball, which means there's no team continuity. It's unbelievable. Why make Fizz the scapegoat? Why make him the fall guy? It's crazy.
Well, that's part of being coach. I mean, at the end of the day, as terrible as it is on any sport, on any given sport, if the teams are performing, the coach is on the line. It's not the players, it's not the general managers, it's the coach, and that's just part of being a coach.
What's he meant to do with that sort of roster?
Well, last game that they had.
The last game of the playoffs. Kevin Knox looks like he's regressed. Like, Kevin Knox hasn't made a step up.
Mm-mm.
They're playing him off the bench. They've essentially bushed him for RJ Barrett, which is fine. RJ Barrett's a number three pick. But they've bushed him and put him on the bench. He's not performing. Neil Aquina had a great World Cup for France. He's not performing.
If we look at the last game where they did have that blowout, there was three players that only scored over double digits. And that was, yes, Julius Randle, Alonso Trier.
Oh, Trier, yeah. He's a good player.
Yeah, Damian Dotson. So they were those two were on the bench. So every other player scored like nine. Bobby Portis, 29 minutes, 4 points.
Didn't he go like 2 for 10?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're your signings. They're nice starters and good role players, but they've got nobody to go to. They're putting all the pressure on RJ Barrett. It's just it's unbelievable. Like this, the franchise that's supposedly the most valuable in the NBA. It's a complete joke.
It is a complete joke, but I mean, a lot of people have come in and said a lot of things. I mean, at the end of the day, the only way that I could ever see them fixing that organization is where James Dolan gives up some ownership, because that's their biggest problem. And there was talk, like even before all this, there was talk. I was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast, and he was saying that they're looking at that there's an aggregator or someone that's part of the board that wants James Dolan to, I guess, give up some of that, have a minority owner for the Knicks.
Yeah,
because he's not a majority.
He needs to get out of the way. No, but he needs to get out of the way. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got stakes in Madison Square Garden itself. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's a huge hockey fan as well. So, you know, he loves the New York Rangers. But he just needs to get out of the way. It just doesn't sound like it's in his nature. Like, everybody's been saying it, that he just needs to get out of the way and let Scott Perry and Steve Mills do their job, run this team. That's why they can't get any big name free agents, because nobody wants to play for James Dolan.
That's right. But I mean, yeah. I don't know. I really don't know where they can go. I really have absolutely no idea where those guys can go at all.
Well, there's only one way to go from here, and that's up.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Well, that's going to be tough this year. But with the roster that they have, the roster construction, they were going to be ordinary.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to work out far out. Because they're a $4.8 billion franchise. Apparently, you have to have at least 1% to be a minority owner.
That's kind of a lot.
Yeah. Which is $48 million. $48 million for 1% of a company. 1%.
And what's that going to give you?
Well, that's
1%.
Right.
1%. So even if you go, okay, I want to be, even if you add a zero to that, and go, I want to be a 10% owner, and even 10% will give you jack bleep of, mm-hmm. you know, running interest of the franchise. That's $480 million. Who in the blue hell is going to want to invest $480 million? $1 million. $480 million to go, I am a 10% owner in the New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah, you got to finish the sentence for the New York Knicks. So, I don't know.
It is just, it's the just a little quote that I sort of wrote down before we move on was that I think it's Steve Mills that was at the podium, and everyone's got a straight face, like, you know, everyone's serious and everything, and the quote is, "We believe in our coaching staff." We believe in our coaching staff. Oh, but by the way, yeah, we just fired the head coach. So the two names that I said to you before we jumped on, two names that sort of jumped out to me on their assistant coaching staff. So who the hell's going to take over?
Well, that's – but then there you go. There you probably answered your own question. You said they believe in the coaching staff. Yes, they don't believe in the head coach. So that it's ludicrous saying one thing and meaning the other.
It's contradicting themselves.
But do they then – who was the other?
So their assistants.
Judd Butchler, the other assistant.
It's Judd Butchler and Mike Miller.
So do they then take? Because they said they believe in the coaching staff. So do they take one of those guys? Well, at least they're gonna have to, obviously, as a temporary role.
Just trying to do some quick sort of research before we jumped on. Like, there's no distinction on who is like a head assistant or anything of that. It just says assistant coaches. There's three other coaches who I haven't heard of. So they might be big in NBA circles and respected assistant coaches. But those two former players in Mike Miller and Judd Butchler are two guys that have stood out to me. You know, Mike Miller is a former two-time champion with the Heat. Yeah, former rookie of the year, sixth man of the year. Like he's fairly well respected. I think he's only just come onto this Knicks staff this year.
Yeah.
So Fizz, and he would have been brought in by Fizdale because Fizdale was on the coaching staff. He was an assistant under Eric Spoelstra on those Heat championship teams with LeBron, D Wade, and Chris Bosh. So that's why that's why Mike Miller would have been brought in.
Yeah. It's just laughable. The whole thing's laughable. 10 games in. We'll keep going on about it, but 10 games in. You don't fire a coach 10 games in. That's just
Well, that's what happened. Ridiculous. Was it not last year, the year before with the Phoenix Suns? And I think they did the same thing. I think they started off 2-2 and 2-11 or something. That was 13 games in and they fire Earl Thomas.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Like, it's crazy. You can't. It's 10 games in. Like, you can't just go out there and well, you can, obviously you can, but you know, Fizz has only been there for a year and a bit. He's still got two plus years left on his deal.
Yeah.
Nobody knows if he can coach well. Like, you know, he coached Memphis well, and they didn't have the greatest squad in the world. And he coached there well. He got them to the playoffs.
It's ludicrous. But
it's crazy.
We'll move on purely because you just I don't know if you intentionally did it, but we could segue perfectly to this week's games where we could start with the Suns starting at 5-5-2. Their coach Monty Williams he's got that team rocking. Especially without DeAndre Ayton for those 25 games.
No, that's right. Well, yeah, at the start of the week, they knocked off the unbeaten Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, so that was 114-109. I don't know. I think I sort of said at the start, like, I think having Ricky Rubio there, so Devin Booker doesn't have to carry the ball up and shoot, play off ball, is working well for them.
Yeah, it's terrific.
And
Monty Williams is a damn good coach. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a damn good coach. Yeah, just having him at the New Orleans Hornets / Pelicans, he took them to the playoffs. Okay, granted they got swept in the first round by the Golden State Warriors, who were a 73-9 team. Yeah, and then they fire him.
Yeah,
so we're going. Coach is firing again. Anyway. Yeah, and he's sort of bounced around the league as an assistant around. I'm so glad that he's got another head coaching job, and he's doing terrific with Phoenix at the moment. Even though their bubble got burst a little bit later on in the week, but the Phoenix playing so well.
Yeah, but they're not. Look, yeah,
oh,
it,
yeah, Miami popped that little bubble, but
they're way ahead of expectations.
Oh my god, just a little nugget. They've got at the start of the week they got their fifth win. Last year they didn't get their fifth win until December 13.
Wow. Well, I think they're over under. They were tipped to win, I think it's 25 games this season. So in 10 games, they were a fifth of the way there already.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're already there. So they are
doing well.
Yeah, it just depends on how the rest of the season goes and injuries and things like that.
Yeah. I think their recruiting of free agents and players was very underrated. You know, not even just Ricky Rubio. You know, a stroke of luck or genius even getting Aaron Baines from the Celtics.
He has been putting up numbers.
So, yeah. Them getting Kelly Oubre, but that was last year. But having
that
Kelly Oubre
year,
there.
Still, you know, he's a young, good three-point shooter, a decent defender. He's long. He's got a big wingspan on him. Like he's a good young kid.
Yeah. So I guess going back to Baines, yeah, not surprising. He had Australia did a really good FIBA World Cup. So maybe he has just transitioned that nicely into the Phoenix Suns, or maybe he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Who knows?
Well, it just shows what he can do as. You know, as a not so much a feature player, but as an NBA starter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, I mean, DeAndre Ayton will come back probably. Well, he's had 25 game suspension. I'd say, knowing the NBA, that'll probably be like the end of November, start of December.
Exactly.
I'm going to punch through 25 games, unfortunately,
they're punching through them.
Yeah. But he'll be a nice compliment on the bench, I guess, for Ayton. So,
well, at least they know that if anything does happen, you know, again, you know, if Ayton gets hurt or you know he gets another suspension or anything, at least they know that Baines can step in and do the job and do the job well. Not just do the job, but do the job well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But they'll be. I don't think they'll make the eight, but.
It's a stacked West. Like they'll
annoy a lot of Western Conference teams. I think they'll go there for the win, and that's just not going to happen this year.
No, they will be
competitive. So, the other, I guess, shocker on that sort of that day of that game was the Warriors beating the Trailblazers 127-118 with literally nobody, not even D'Angelo Russell.
No, with no D'Angelo Russell either. Like it's just I think that was just one of those cases of, you know, Portland possibly taking the Warriors a little bit light.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Eric Paschal, 34 points. He looks like
a good kid. He looks like a good player.
Yeah, I feel like he's. I mean, I didn't really know a lot about him at all, but I feel like he's sort of come out of literally nowhere.
I don't know if he's a G League player or if he's from overseas. I'm not 100% sure. I probably should have researched that. But he looks like a good player. Like, you know, he could be a good bench feature for them going forward once their superstars come back.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he looks the goods. He's still young. I mean, why not? Why, you know, you've got all these players out. Why don't you just ball out? I mean, there's not much they can do. Sort of ball out and just have a, like, that's what, and pretty much is what they're doing. Just have a go.
We'll find out how good of a coach Steve Kerr is
with this
group. The thing that's a little bit worrying for me, possibly before we sort of move on a little bit, is Portland's 0-3 at home.
Yes.
That's a little concerning. Not too much, but, you know, even the Pels have got to win at home. Even the Knicks have got to win at home.
It is concerning. I I'm not totally sold, and I think they've wasted a trade on Hassan Whiteside.
He's putting up okay numbers.
Oh yeah, but he's also his defense. Yeah, okay, he's probably putting up some numbers, but his defense. I watched the game. I think it was the Clippers. But he just looked. He was just standing there, like he wasn't moving that much at all.
Sometimes he does look lost defensively. He's a little bit like DeMarcus Cousins, the way that they sort of they pick on him in pick and rolls, and they get they get him in mismatches, and it's pretty telling defensively. He just doesn't move that well laterally in defense. Yeah. So and he can be picked on by smaller guys. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So, that's sort of once Jusuf Nurkić comes back, they will probably use Nurkić off the bench to get him. Look at him just to start with. Yeah, look at the devastating injury he's come off, like that dislocated ankle. Like that's not cool. And look at what Gordon Hayward's doing 2 years after, Gordon Hayward is balling.
Yeah, but he's out.
Gordon
now.
Hayward, like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he fractured his left hand the other day, which sucks.
Just had surgery today, but it won't be as bad as the other one. But like you said, like he's come back and he is balling.
Look at Paul George. Essentially that same injury. It took him 2 years. Took him 2 years to get back to be in the guy that he was. So I think they'll use Nurkić off the bench. I think they'll use him fairly sparingly to try and get him, reacquainted to the speed and everything of the NBA. So Hassan Whiteside's gonna be there for the foreseeable future at the starting center.
Well, I think so. I just think he's playing his contract year. So generally, you would think a lot of NBA players, I remember in the past, when it's their contract year, they play for that next contract. And he's just not. Another surprising team, the Hornets, the Charlotte Hornets. Playing surprisingly well. Like I think we panned them in the preview at the start of the year. We didn't really pan the Charlotte Hornets. We panned the owner and we panned the terrible contracts that they had on the books.
No, that's right. We can all go after Michael Jordan and his sort of fairly ordinary ways of ownership and running a team. Like everybody does it. We can do it too, surely.
Yeah, of course we can. I have no problem doing it.
He's the goat, but he's just not that well acquired, well equipped. In the ways of front office management and stuff. So, what are they 4-5 now? They lost 4-6.
Yeah, yesterday. But
they lost to the Pels over the weekend, and then they lost yesterday. But 4-6. The thing is, you don't know how long it's going to be before their little bubble bursts. Yeah, correct. already having 4 wins on the season is great. And Devonte Graham. He's playing great off the bench. He's been a great contributor off the bench.
That game against the Pacers that they just won, he was everywhere. He got 35 points in that game, 4 out of 9 from the 3-point line, but he was everywhere from the bench, like literally everywhere.
He's been terrific.
He has been terrific. And I wouldn't say shockers, but Rozier's playing probably better than expected, but he did get a big contract, so he probably needs to be honest.
That's true.
That young guy, PJ Washington.
He's been playing great too. He was their high draft pick.
Yeah, he was picked number 12, which, respected it, I suppose, is probably one way of putting it, but...
Did he come out of Kentucky? Did he come out of the Wildcats?
Yes. Was it?
I thought he came from Kentucky. Anyway. More research to be done.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to always do, we can always go on the fly. But yeah, he's playing for that high draft pick. Like he is playing very well. And that, I think it's just sort of, he stood out purely because, yeah, he doesn't like people scoring on him. The game that I watched, he there's a couple of goaltendings in that, but yeah, he doesn't like people scoring on him. He gets real angry when people score on him. It's hilarious to watch. He's very angry. It's hilarious. He's
very angry young man. Okay, so just some research on the fly. University of Kansas, not Kentucky. Started with a K.
Oh, I love it.
Coached by Bill Self, so you know he should be a decent player. Like he probably won't be pushing for a starting spot, but if he keeps putting up numbers on the bench, then you know that'll keep him in games and that'll give him good minutes.
And at the moment, he's been the last two games that I watched, that one and the Celtics, they lost against the Celtics. He has been starting. So, but I guess we'll just wait and see how long it's going to take before maybe he just shits a bed. I don't know. We'll just have to wait.
Well, that could be the story of Charlotte's season. You know, they might get a little bit of sort of false confidence and go, hey, you know, we're not looking too bad. And then,
yeah. I would think so. Couple of flying high teams I was going to talk about, I guess, before looking at other news and that. It's not surprising, but really, I guess. But you like the way Celtics are starting the season, 7-1?
Yeah, they look very formidable.
Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, we mentioned it before. Gordon Hayward looks like he's had surgery on a fractured hand. But
no timetable on that. That could be four weeks.
It is a fractured hand, so
yeah, that could be longer for a bone to, you know, to have surgery and a bone to be healing in your hand. That could be at least 4 weeks. Like that, I don't think that'll derail them, but that's certainly not going to help.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just more surprised but I guess how well they're playing. I mean, they have Kemba, and Kemba's doing what Kemba does, but they
he looks like he's fit in there real well.
Really quick too, but I just their center position scares me. They don't. Enes Kanter's been out for a while, and they don't. And I think it was Thies that played there as a center. He's not really a true center. Played there as a center position.
They're playing a lot of small ball.
Yeah, I think they have to, Daniel Theis. I don't think they have an option because they don't have a center depth at all. While they're playing good,
what are you talking about? They got the cult sensation Taco Fall. Come on.
I'm sure he's gonna play. I'm talking postseason.
Hey man,
he's a cult sensation. But
oh my god, like it's been a while since we've seen somebody at that insane height in the NBA. Like Boban's big. Yeah, well, what's he, 7'3"? But Taco Fall, what's he, 7'4", 7'5"? Like he's crazy tall. So yeah, it's crazy that the sensation that it is, and he's just, you know, he looks serviceable. Like he looks like he could, you know, he's not going to be able to, I don't think he's going to be able to play a lot of big minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're desperate for a center, yeah, he looks like he can defend the bucket really well.
He looks like he could, but like, I guess we haven't seen enough of him to sort of see how he's going to go. But
that's 7'5", like, you know, the last, yeah, it's 7'5". Yeah, sort of. You think he stands
when he puts his arm up. He holds the ring.
Yeah, when the rim bends, he can dunk it and then hold on to the hoop and land on the floor. it's like Manute Bol, you know, from back in the day. Manute Bol, George Mirrors, and Sean Bradley. Those types of players. That yeah, they could dunk it. The rim would bend and their feet would be on the floor.
That's exactly, yeah. The other surprise, well, it's not surprising. The other, I guess it's hard to say if it's surprising or not, but I didn't think so. The Toronto Raptors were going to do so well this early. It's 7-2.
No, they look quite good.
Yeah, so much so. And like this is going to sort of, this won't pan out later, but Pascal Siakam has now moved into the odds of MVP.
Oh my God.
Won't happen, but I'm just telling you, he's just moved into the odds.
Out of here.
He has. He has moved into the.
No,
he has
officially... I get that, but he's not going to be. He ain't going to be no MVP.
No. But it's just, I thought he'd be. I mean, he got most improved last year, and I thought he might have that second year sort of syndrome or third year sort of syndrome. But and then
jump. Yeah, he's looking good. Like he's looking like he can carry that team.
Yeah. Hit that, yeah, and I thought, oh, you know, they said that this is going to be his team, and I went, okay, we'll just see how it goes. But this is his team.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry isn't, you know, is being regular season Kyle Lowry playing well.
That 1 year contract of $34 million or whatever he got, that's a joke.
But it's tradable. That's the thing.
That's what I'm hoping for them. That's a trade.
It's tradable. Yeah, it's tradable. If he's playing well, then, yeah, that's what I mean. He's only got 1 year left in his deal. He might be one of those players where a team says, you know, we're one piece away and, you know, they trade for Kyle Lowry. But, you know, do they get regular season Kyle Lowry or do they get playoff Kyle Lowry with the exception of last year's playoffs?
Because
playoff Kyle Lowry isn't that good.
No. I Kyle Lowry is really, to me, isn't that good. I mean...
$30 million. Yeah. Well, there's players getting around that are getting that money. That not to say they don't deserve it. Get your money and everything, but you know it's about earning the paycheck. It's about the look of what you're doing for the team. You know, to make value for that contract.
Yeah, and I don't think he has that. Are they going to be Are they going to be the type of team where, you know, this is the guy that got us to the title. Do we just keep him as a gesture of good faith, so to speak?
Possibly.
But, so I don't know if they will trade him, but, surprised. It's just, they have a great team. It's just surprising they're starting so well. That's all. I mean, they only really lost one player, really, didn't they? At the end of the day, they only lost one. Yes. One of the best players, but...
Yeah. Oh, Fred VanVleet had a good start to the season, but he sort of cooled off a little bit.
OG Anunoby sort of stepped back in.
Yeah, Anunoby, you know, who was hurt for most of last season, he's come back in and he's looked...
Yep.
Yeah, he's looked pretty good. So, you know, Marc Gasol's probably, you know, on the wrong end of the 30s for him to be coming in. But he can still be a good, serviceable... player, and you know, yeah,
seven 7'1", he can defend as well as shoot the three, which is always amazing to watch.
No, you have to, and that's the thing, you still have to respect his ability to shoot. Like that's the thing. You know, a lot of teams don't close out on him very well because he's so tall. It's hard to close out on a 7-footer that can shoot, like Nikola Jokic, like Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah, guys like that. It's hard to close out on big guys like that can shoot the three because they're so tall.
Yeah, that's right. It's impossible.
Yeah, if we can put a hand in their face and you can't. Yeah, it's by the time you can't get a hand up in there.
You can't. It's too hard. It's too hard to defend. So, were there any other sort of teams that you wanted to sort of talk about before we move on to any other news than that?
I think the Jazz haven't. I think that they're slowly beginning to live up to expectations. They're undefeated at home, but they're not playing very well on the road. But they knocked off. Yeah, they knocked off the Bucks, which I thought was a big game for them in Utah. Bojan Bogdanovic had a game winner at the buzzer from the corner. To knock off Milwaukee. He had 33-5 in that game. So he's starting to get into the scoring rotation. I think the Jazz, I guess they sort of, whether they scared a lot of people in the West to say that they're going to be good and that they're deep and everything. So I think, team continuity wise, they're starting to get into rhythm. Donovan Mitchell is going to have to learn to trust, other people to get the scoring done. And Bogdanovich is definitely one of those guys. It's not all going to be on Donovan Mitchell to go out there and do a bulk of the scoring every single night.
No, that's right. I think the first week we were talking about I guess how terribly bad they were starting Utah Jazz with all the hype that they had, but yeah, they quickly turned that around. And I think it is Bogdanovich just sort of playing off the bench is sort of helping for them.
And that's, I mean, as the season wears on, they should only get better and better.
They should, definitely.
The other team I sort of thought about too was the Mavericks as well over there in the West. Over the weekend they got knocked. To me they're up and down, and to me they are so thin on the bench. Like their starters are pretty good, and obviously everything's going to go through Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic. So they have they're trying to punch through as well as they can, but Doncic has just been on fire.
Wow, I mean, again, not a guy that's going to win the MVP, because excuse me, to me, a team that needs a player that needs to win an MVP season, a team needs to make 50 wins, and Dallas Mavericks aren't going to do that. But
possibly,
man, he's playing so good.
He's playing lights out.
It's ridiculous. Like, oh man, the Hawks, are they really ruining that trade that they did? I still can't work out why they did that.
I don't know.
I know they talk up, we've got Trae Young. Trae Young is not better than Luka Doncic. There is no way.
No. But they're looking at Trae Young at being the next Steph Curry. So I guess that they can live with that. Whereas, Luka Doncic is just a super all round player. So I think he's a little bit turnover prone at the moment, because I think a lot of the offense has to go through him to sort of kickstart them offensively. So he's got to have the ball a lot in his hand. So he's going to be prone to turnovers. So that'll be interesting to see how they sort of pan out as the season goes along. Like that, they'll have ups and downs. Like they lost to the Knicks in Dallas. Like that loss, that just can't happen. Like that just can't happen.
No, it can't happen. They I think the other two that are complementing well each other is Seth Curry and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Well, he started I can't think who they played the other night. Seth Curry actually started.
They played the Memphis Grizzlies.
That'd be it.
138-122, and Seth Curry did start with Tim Hardaway coming off the bench. Yeah. But they're just working in tandem with each other, as in the two shooting guards, like one's coming off, one's coming on, and they're both doing lights out as well. 16 points for Seth in that game, and 20 for Tim Hardaway. So
well, they're not scared of blazing away for three as well. So
oh no.
that's a threat, in itself. I don't think Porzingis played in that game though. They rested him. So, that's if we want to go on to the whole load management, sort of situation, with Kawhi and the guys that are coming off, that are coming off injuries, especially last year, so. I get it. Kristaps Porzingis is coming off that devastating knee injury that he had with the Knicks before he sort of, they had that little bit of a falling out with everybody there at the Knicks organization and demanded the trade and things like that. So Just with Porzingis, it's all good. Load management, that's terrific. Yeah, it took him more than 12 months to come back from that knee injury. Apparently, it was a pretty nasty ACL tear. So that's cool. So he's had his nice mandatory one game of load management so far. But for Kawhi Leonard to have two games already of load management on back-to-backs is a little much. Like we get it. He's coming off the quad. He's a quad injury. He's got an ongoing patella knee injury issue as well. So I think the main problem with that is he's taking national games off, nationally televised games off. And I think, ESPN sort of had a bit of a boo-hoo about it because he wasn't going to be playing against the Bucks, and he ended up playing against the Trailblazers, which is a divisional game, but that was on TNT.
Yeah, that's good. I love TNT. I don't have a problem with, I think we were talking about this. Definitely off podcast, but I don't have a problem with load management if you're paying all this money for players and you have the right to do what you want with that player. Yes, there's certain rules that with the NBA that, yes, they have these nationally televised games, and yes, these are superstar players, and yes, that's what everybody wants to watch. But, I mean, everybody wants to watch them in the postseason, and that's what they're doing. That's what the organization want. I don't have a massive problem with it, but he's been doing it for years. Why keep whinging about it now? He did it last year. He did it the year before.
No, exactly. Well, he only played 60 games for the Raptors in the regular season last year. So, that's all well and good, but it's just frustrating, coming at it from a fan's perspective. I think it can be done better, just in regards to if they're gonna give him games off, then give him travel games off, give him home games off, because a lot of players, especially now that he's in the West, when they only go out East once to play each team, so a lot of people are buying tickets, and the Clippers are a major draw card now. Same with the Lakers. They're a major draw card, and these people are buying tickets. Organizations are charging a boatload for these tickets, and these guys they're not playing. So it just sucks for the fans that they have to pay these premium ticket prices, and then they're not getting the superstar that they're paying the premium tickets for. That's the thing that's the problem I have with it.
That's exactly right. That is a big problem. I mean, like you just said, they only go to the East once, and that's it. But they only go to the East at once, and you're going to pay good money. Like if you're not going to go to the, let's say Giannis has games off, why else are you going to go and watch the Bucks play? Yeah, there's a couple other players, but why are you going to go watch the Bucks play? There's only one reason.
You're going to see him. So, give them their rest when they're home games, because they've got 41 games in that building.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. The fans
have got 41 chances to go and see their big gun, their big star play. It's just unfortunate. I don't think it's going to be that cut and dry and that easy to be able to do. But I think that will go a long way to stop people sort of, having a bit of a boo-hoo about this load management and superstars not playing. I don't really care whether they play on those nationally televised games or not. I'm still watching them.
But that's right.
It's mainly for the people in the building. And obviously ESPN and TNT and ABC have all got their finger in the pie and everything, and people aren't, a lot of casual fans aren't going to tune in because, oh no, Kawhi Leonard's not playing. Oh, well, I'm not going to watch. But it's just, It's just, unfortunately, it's just the way it goes. Like, you know, people are tuning into superstars, and if they're not playing, then they're not, the casual fans, just they're not going to watch.
No, that's right. So I see your point there. And maybe there's something that could be done about it, but I mean, I would think that what you would, I mean, we don't want to keep going on and harping on about it, but how pre-planned do you think these games are that they're having off?
Oh, I think the medical staff, and that's what I said before.
What if they pick particular games and all that?
I think that the medical staff will be watching them, how they're playing, how they're moving around, and then they'll be in constant contact with them and go, okay, we're coming up to a back-to-back. What would you rather do? Would you rather play the first game of the back-to-back or the second game of a back-to-back? And certain things like that. That's all on the team's medical staff and I'd say with major talks with the players. So there might be some players out there that don't want to rest, that they say no, you're going to have this game off. And I think that's what Houston needs to do this year with James Harden.
I think so. While they're doing well, and while you have another superstar there in Westbrook, I definitely would, because he's played so much for that team. He needs a rest.
I'd sort of play him maybe 75 games, even maybe a little bit less, and I'd be giving him some of those games off, you know, like back to backs and stuff like that, because you know he's going to be playing over the All-Star weekend, so you know he's not going to be getting that rest over that period. So I think Houston will be well advised to do that. So I think that'll be something that D'Antoni will definitely have to look into. But I think that would be a good strategy for Houston to take on.
I think that'd be a great strategy for Houston to take on.
I think it'd be fantastic. And then James Harden's gonna play a lot. You give Westbrook some rest too.
I suppose.
You can play him 75 games as well. You know what Harden's gonna put out.
Yeah.
So if they want to have a deep postseason run, they need those guys relatively fresh for the postseason. And you've seen James Harden flame out. How many seasons in a row in a Houston Rockets jersey in the postseason?
Yeah. Well, that'll be, I guess, sort of talking about two players before we move on. That'll be interesting when Paul George comes back. You would think Kawhi was going to have to play a fair few games with him to sort of see if they can gel together, because they've never played together before. So
no, that's right. Well, who knows how many games Paul George is going to play this year? He might only play 50 games.
That's right. At least we can sort of see, and they've played together before. But Westbrook and Harden, they do gel well together. So you're right. They could have the certain games off. I mean, if I was that team, I would.
I would 100% be doing that. If that's what they want, and Daryl Morey has come out and said, yes, the goal is a championship. The goal is a ring. And if they're serious about it, then this has to be done. This just has to be done.
Yeah, has to, because I think this is their last chance, personally. But that's it. This is their last chance. If they don't win it with this team, or even possibly next year, that's Harden won't win one at Houston. Harden won't win one at Houston.
Would it be out of the realm of possibility that Harden could get traded? Not this year, but in the coming years, could they look at trading James Harden? Like, it sounds crazy, but if it just looks like it's not going to happen, imagine the haul of picks or players or whether you can get for James Harden.
Oh my God.
look at what they had to give up for Russell Westbrook.
This is true. And Paul George. Like, that'll be very interesting.
Yeah. OKC has got, you know, 27 draft picks over the next 3 years.
27 draft picks. That's awesome.
Feels like that.
Did you have any other sort of, I guess, news before we look at some studs and duds to finish up on?
Just real quick before we get on, just a couple of suspensions that's happened. John Collins was suspended by the league for 25 games, essentially the same way that DeAndre Ayton has done. You know, he tested positive to a growth hormone, to a peptide, essentially. So he didn't try and mask it with a diuretic like DeAndre Ayton did, but he's been pinged. So obviously plans to appeal it, but he's on a suspension right now. He's playing well, 17 points, 9 rebounds a game. Like he's playing pretty good. So I think that's a bit of a loss.
Yeah.
For Atlanta. So I think that sort of sucks. And then also Dion Waiters, like, oh my God. Like, do we all remember him?
Vaguely.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, it talks about Waiters Island and everything like that. Like, it's just he's been suspended by the team for 10 games and it without pay as well. So that's got to hurt. But it come out there that when they were on their way back from Phoenix on a charter, he had a panic attack on the plane. And this panic attack was induced by an unfamiliar edible. This is what they keep calling it when I read up about it. An unfamiliar edible, which was found to have THC in it. So essentially, he had himself a brownie.
Essentially.
He had himself a brownie and then freaked out on the plane. Like, you know, that's unfounded speculation that it was a brownie. But what else is it? Like, honestly, what else is gonna be laced with THC that's an edible? Like, let's be real here, people. So he's been suspended by the team. He's owed $25 million over the next 2 years. So what dead money that is at the moment for the Heat.
That's Luol dang dead money, that one.
That is some serious dead money. He's already been suspended once by the team already this season. We're 10 games in, and now he's got another suspension. And it's cost him $1 million because he had to get to 70 games played this year. He hasn't played, and now he's been suspended. There's only 73 games left for the Heat. So it's cost him $1 million. It was an incentive in his contract to play 70 games this year, and he got like $1.2 million. That's gone.
Wow. Wow. That is ridiculous. And he was never going to say it anyway. But anyway, that's...
No, it probably wasn't, but oh, man.
That's the Dion Waiters.
You've hardly seen him play in a Heat uniform. Like, that's a pretty bad signing by Pat Riley there. Like, he's usually pretty savvy with the guys that he signs and everything like that, but I think that's... That's a glaring mistake.
Yeah, definitely. So any studs and duds of the week?
For me, my stud of the week is Luka Doncic. Like just like I said before, playing lights out, another triple-double. I get it, it was versus the Knicks. Yeah, everybody should be putting up triple-double-like numbers against the Knicks. But, you know, 38, 14, and 10. Like, that's in a loss, okay, granted, but, you know, he's just putting up crazy numbers at the moment. I think in his last five games, he's averaging a triple-double.
Wow.
He's averaging like 28, 11, and 11 in his last five games. That's courtesy of the Sportsbet app.
Yep,
we'll just leave that there with 22 cents in its balance.
I've actually never heard of that app, but that's okay.
I just brushed over it a little bit there. So, you know, it's just doing some research.
That's some serious research.
So you got the start of the week?
Well, I have down here Luka Doncic. It's probably the same sort of reasons as you, and it's funny because it just befuddles me still that that the Hawks traded down because they weren't going to take him, and they were happy to take Trae Young. It just I couldn't work. Look, Trae Young's doing well. It befuddles me that, like, everybody was talking this guy up. Yes, he was overseas, and yes, that's always a risk when you get this, you know, you get an overseas player, but
he just looks special. He just looks special.
They traded down. They had him right there. Well, technically, so did Phoenix. Technically, if you really, they were never going to.
No,
take
that's
him.
Right. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
technically,
I think,
Phoenix.
Yeah. Could you imagine Doncic on the Phoenix Suns?
Well, look, if he played as well as he would, then Booker would have moved on, and they might have had some pieces around him. That's how that could have panned out. But yeah.
DeAndre Ayton's far from a flop, but you know, it's like you said, he was the teams had the opportunity to take Doncic, and they didn't.
And they didn't. That's exactly right. And he'll be all-star this year. He will be that. Mark my words, he'll be an all-star this year.
As a point guard, who's he going to knock out as an all-star? You've got Westbrook. You've got Lillard.
No. I don't think he'll be fan-voted. I think he'll be coach-voted.
Let's see. How many point guards are you going to have on that team? Well, I suppose it depends on.
He can play small forward. He can play shooting guard. He doesn't have to play point.
No, I get that. But you know, when Steph Curry comes back, like who are you brushing? Who are you brushing out of there? That's the thing. It's you got to brush somebody. Steph Curry will be back by then.
Well, that's crazy in itself. That, like, I mean, he doesn't have to do literally anything, and he'll be fan voted in. That's just the way that rolls.
That'll be it exactly.
Unfortunately, and that's not a fortune against him because everybody loves him, but he really shouldn't be fan voted. That's a bit, I guess, unfair, or not unfair, but it's just the way it is.
That's just how NBA. The all star voting goes. That's how the NBA gets people invested in it. We have a say.
That's exactly right. Did you have any duds of the week before we finish up?
No, I think just. Yeah, go back to the Dallas Mavericks for a little while. I think he's not a dud, but he has seriously cooled off, and that's Kristaps Porzingis. I think he started the season hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay, I'm calling him my dud of the week, but he has seriously tailed off from what involvement-wise and from what, I guess, the expectations were of him at the start of the year. Like, I think, once again, courtesy of the Sportsbet app, his last five games, he's only averaging 14 points a game and like four rebounds. So for somebody who's 7'3", for him to be averaging four rebounds a game, and Russell Westbrook is 6'5", and he can average nearly 10. Like, it's he's still playing well defensively.
Yeah,
but I just think whether or not, you know, his conditioning maybe isn't quite there. He's still, you know, like I said, started off hot, and it's just, just the start of the season. It's only 10 games in, but it just might be catching up on him a little bit, and that's why they rested him. They rested him earlier in the week. So that's, that's like I said, you know, I hate to call him a dud, but I just think he's in a bit of a lull at the moment. And I'm sure Coach Carlisle will be able to work him out of that.
It's an overall generalization of a dud of the week, but basically it's everybody using the goddamn term load management. I'm sick of seeing that term. Everybody. It's funny, the actual term of what load management means is nothing to do with what the NBA term is, but it's got
to
do with...
You can't avoid it. It's everywhere.
It's got to do with electricity and pass... It's sort of the same sort of concept, passing or the certain electricity manage... What was it? Managing another electricity. So basically, load management, known as side management, is a process of spreading the supply of electricity on the network with the electrical load by adjusting or controlling the load. Controlling Kawhi rather than the station output. So, and that, as in like the team, but I'm just sick of hearing the term.
It's just, we're 3 weeks into the season. That's all we're hearing is load management.
Load management. It's funny. Like it's. I'm just sick of hearing the term. Like it's just really annoying. And really, it all started with the Spurs.
No, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, they're the ones who essentially kickstarted it. You know, with Timmy
they,
D,
they didn't call it
Ginobili,
like, they
Parker, called, all of those guys, Kawhi. You know, they all did it.
They called it DNP rest. That's what they called it. So.
Yeah.
That it's just an overused term that they're going to keep doing it. I'm just
oh my
just
god, that's stop. All we're going to hear this year. That's all we're going to hear.
Stop saying it. That's
get used to it.
Yeah. If I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it. That's it. Yeah, I'll have to get used to it, but I'm just sick of it.
That's something like you said. It's an overused term, but yeah, we're gonna get that a whole bunch this year.
Yep. Can't wait till they say it again. I might start a tracker. That's what I'm gonna do, everyone, before we finish up. I am gonna start a tracker officially.
Load management tracker.
Now until the end of, because surely you won't load manage in the playoffs, but from now to the end of the regular season, I'm gonna count up how many times I hear load management and then give you the tally right at the end.
Sweet. That's something to look forward to.
Throw a number out there. You'd have to.
Oh my god, it'll be in the thousands. It will be if it's by the end of the season. It'll be in the thousands.
On hearing, not looking, hearing, because I can look and it's on every bloody NBA website. Yeah. But that'll do it for my end.
Yep, no, that'll do. Enjoy your NBA this week, and enjoy your load management, people. That'll be fantastic to watch the rest of this regular season and see what the tally gets up to.
Well, we're not trying to load manage. We're going to pop out two podcasts in one day, so we're all not about load management here.
no load management here. We're just going to keep pumping them out.
So you'll find us on SoundCloud, also on Facebook at Final Play Podcast. So this should be up today, which will be good for everybody. And also on Twitter at the Final Play Pod. And could be a sneaky iTunes, but stay tuned for that one.
Stay tuned for iTunes.
Have a good NBA week, everyone.
Enjoy your load management, everybody. See ya.
Peace.